We're still, as I said, going in Luke 14, verse 26, studying what hate means. So now we're going to Revelation chapter 2. I had to repeat that because I didn't turn the machine on. Because I'm a dummy. First, this is the message to the church at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. You remember the whoever was the head of a satyr is called the angel. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and he walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labors, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted or quit in your mind. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But these things thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which are also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans.
Those are the ones that thought that James godliness, aren't they?
What?
They preached.
Yeah. Well, Nico is a Greek word for success.
Okay.
Nicolaitans are preached success in the name of God. For thousands of years, they've tried to find a town called the Nicolaitan, and there is none. But they sometimes make up stuff so they can apply it to somebody else and not to them.
Well, let's talk about the him that overcometh.
Again, everything in here, to him that you only overcome by total repentance, by total emptying.
There's even, Revelation has a great thing about who the world overcomes in Revelation 14.
Yep.
The patience of here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them.
Amen. Again, there's everything is about, that's why the Sabbath is so critical. The first feast that's mentioned in Leviticus 23 that outlines the feasts is the Sabbath. And the Sabbath, we've talked about this many times, but the Muslims believe the Sabbath is on Friday, the Jews believe the Sabbath is on Saturday, the Christians believe the Sabbath is on Sunday. But the Sabbath is no longer a day of the week, it's a person. The Sabbath is Jesus Christ, where you cease totally from your own labors as God did from his. And that's not something you do lightly. It has to be done. And for you to overcome, you have to cease from your own labors. Otherwise, your eye is evil. And your whole body is not full of light, but even the light that is in you is darkness. Anybody else have any questions?
I'm thinking God always is kind of backwards from what we think.
does. It's repentance. It's a constant repentance. That's why it says, remember thou from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works.
But the overcomer is Christ in you.
Well, not if you haven't repented.
So you got a third person now.
The evil one. The only thing your mind can do is repent. That's the only good thing that the mind knows could ever do. And that requires integrity. You have to know when you've come to the end of yourself. You are wearied in the greatness of your way. It would say us not that there is no hope. For you found the hope of thy right hand. Therefore, on and on. It's always and ever renewal of your mind. That's what everything is about. That's why time and space exists. Be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And that only comes by a continuum of repentance. And that repentance only comes when you've seen the emptiness and vanity of all things. So if you got things you got to do, then go do them quickly. But
it's easy to figure that Jesus gets credit for repenting, even if that's the only thing in the mind of this person sitting here who may not be at Jesus. Time he has to repent, figures out to repent.
Jesus never has to figure out how to repent. He can't sin because his seed remaineth in him.
I'm talking about the point at which I'm Satan or whatever. The point where my mind does the only thing it can do and repents, Jesus gets the credit for the repenting.
Well, I don't understand what that means.
Satan doesn't get any credit for repenting, and there's not a third person. That's what it means.
All right, let's go to Revelation 18. No, we're still in. Let's go to Revelation 12. Verse 12, I'm sorry. Unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in the days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it. Overcome, overcome, overcome. You overcome by only repentance. All right. Let's go to Revelation 12. Wow. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the seal. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What is the word of your testimony? I used to be bad and now I'm good? No. The word of your testimony is the acceptance of your death. Testimony is martyr. What?
I was going to say that. I think I passed the test.
Good.
You beat me to it.
Now live it. Okay? The word of your death. Testimony is the word martyr. They love not their lives even unto death. What does it mean, loving your life? Remember, love here is agapeo, the verb form of agape. It just means to give importance to.
You love your mind despite all of the events.
All right, let's go to Revelation 18. No, let's not. Let's go to Revelation 10 first, because you can't really understand Revelation 18 until you've seen something in Revelation 10. I think it's 10. Verse 1. Anybody there? And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. I don't know if we've talked about it here, but I've talked about it many times in the Wednesday night group and in Bananas earlier. What the seven thunders uttered was who is the man of sin and the son of perdition. It's you and me. Man had to come to his full potential because otherwise there would always be if-onlys. Now we've pushed all arenas of science, all arenas of art, every other aspect, we've pushed them to the limit. In all areas of science and math, what they found when they reached the limit was chaos. If that doesn't cause you to repent, I don't know what will. And because man has reached that, as a race has reached that, chaos is just another word for vanity. The the Antichrist could not be revealed until then. Now he's revealed. Now comes the next point. And the angel which I saw upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Why? Because the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. The mystery of God is finished. The seventh angel has said, time shall be no longer. The man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed. And it's you and I. Go there. Go to 2 Thessalonians.
That's kind of interesting that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice, it's almost like they jump back into time.
Well, there can only be time no longer in them that see that. The seventh angel judgment must first begin at the temple of God. You are that temple. When that seventh angel can stand in you and you see time no longer, then you have redeemed the time, for the days are evil. And time is no longer a matter of any of your thoughts. And I promise you, if you try to think without time, you'll end up nuts. Because the only thing that you can do when that happens is repent. Otherwise, you'll take great joy in your thoughts. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Remember what we just said. Now go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming or presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. At hand means here. How could that be? Jesus Christ said the day the kingdom of God is here. But the day of Christ is a little bit different than the kingdom of God. The day of Christ is the end of time. And listen.
Is not the kingdom that same day?
Kingdom is a surrounding reality. The day, that day is the day we've talked about forever. That day is the day that your obedience is complete. You redeemed the time.
And it would be in that day that our eyes are open to the kingdom that we're in.
Mm-hmm. Well, that day can come.
Can we see the kingdom before that day?
No, of course. That's wherever you look, you see it. You see it in everything. You see, that's why you can say it's finished. You can't say it's finished if you don't see that. Otherwise, you got things to do, places to go. But let's listen to this. I've been teaching that the day of Christ is at hand or here since I began teaching. But one thing that I knew at my conversion experience was that I was the instead of Christ. I was the Antichrist. I didn't know what that meant. But I couldn't talk about it. I said, I can't talk about that. Let's go on. Let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I have been teaching that the day of Christ is here for 40 years. You should run from me if you don't believe it. Now listen. There comes a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin. The man of sin. The son of perdition. Until you see that's you and I, there's no more understanding. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Doesn't show anybody else. And the definition of your thinking yourself as God is judging for yourself good and evil. Man of sin, the son of perdition. That's the first thing that Satan told Eve. To be as God. That's the reason Satan fell. That's the reason the whole kingdom of Lucifer was destroyed. You can't bring any of that kingdom into the kingdom of God. You can't bring your mind. You can't bring any of it in. That's why repentance is so total. That's why whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's not a negotiation. Now, let's go back to Revelation 18. Chapter 17, remember, is the prediction, the identification of who Babylon is, and the prediction that of Babylon's destruction. So verse 1, chapter 18. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations, or all people, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We understand the only reason that there's commerce is because of cause and effect. The merchants of the earth have become rich. The abundance of her delicacies. Anybody understand that? The nations, everyone has committed the fornication with her. The nations, the kingdoms, the merchants, the people. You can't even conceive of a time in which there was no cause and effect. So ingrained in us. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sin, you received not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much hath she glorified herself and lived delicately or deliciously. So much torments and sorrow give her, for he has said in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And this is the reason we studied this. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived delicately with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment is come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. And the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood, all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich, all that had these ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she was made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The one that just gets you is the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride shall be heard no more at all. That's enough for today. We're going to look at a few Old Testament. Normally in Hebrew, there's about 20 different words for a different English word. But there's only one word for hate Hebrew, just like there was only one word for hate in Greek. In Hebrew, the word is sane or sane. Translated universally as hate.
And the New Testament is despised.
Nasio.
It means despise.
Yeah. Most, 90% of the times it's translated hate, but a few times it's translated abhor or detest.
Translated what?
Abhor or detest. But it's there's no wiggle room. All right, anybody have any response to any of this?
Babylon was the finest man could ever do, it sounds like.
Well, that's what's in that golden cup that's sitting on the horse. Everything that man thinks he wants.
Yeah.
But in Babylon, it was fulfilled. They had reached the pinnacle.
You mean Babylon as it lived back in the old days?
Well, what they're talking about here.
Well, that's just what every man wants.
Is Babylon, or do you mean just whatever man?
Well, Babylon is cause and effect. That's the whole... That's its basis for existence. That's the final test. That's why Israel had to first come out of the world. The world was survival of the fittest. Then it had to come out and go and experience and come out of Babylon, cause and effect. You have to come out of both of them. You have to there's an exodus from Babylon, and from Egypt, and there's an exodus from Babylon. Two great enemies of faith. The world is on fire. That's what Ezekiel says. It's just, it's oxidizing. That's the idea that, the second law of thermodynamics, nothing in and of itself can ever reproduce anything greater than itself. All right. Take it, big guy.